right, time to check in and see how the Redskins did in that big preseason game last Friday night. Because we were told this was a game that mattered because it was time to start looking at, you know, the real first-line offense, the real first-online defense. Joining us on the line is Trevor Maddich, Redskins elite long snapper. He's our Redskins analyst. He's a Comcast Sportsnet co-host, 12-time Emmy Award-winning broadcaster. He's a man who understands football and is going to help us out. Okay, got all that out of the way. So my take on it is it looks like they were rusty in the start, but eventually they found their rhythm.
Yeah, they did, Brian, and that's encouraging, and it's also discouraging because the first quarter of the offense was pretty bad. The second quarter, they went to toys in their toy box that allow them to do better when things aren't going well, and that is the strength of their offense, which is the receivers. They got the ball to DeSean Jackson and Pierre Garçon. They threw the ball short and let those guys run with it and make plays, and that's what broke it open. That's encouraging. But what's discouraging is that by the time they started to break it open and get going in the second quarter, the Bills were resting many of their starters. And so a lot of those defenders that the Redskins made plays against were backups. And so we still don't know how good this offense is.
Well, and let's talk about the very beginning there when things started a little shaky and we saw an interception right away from Kirk Cousins, which despite his strong finish last year, interceptions had always been the concern about Kirk Cousins. What happened there?
Yeah, Larry, what happened was what we saw in Cousins' early years here as a Redskin, and that is when he throws on rhythm, on time to a spot, he's very, very good. When he is off schedule, in other words, when he waits in the pocket, he looks around, and then he sees something, and then he throws it. He tends to have problems, and that's when a lot of his interceptions come. That happened this preseason, where he's throwing interceptions in the opener, and then in this game against the Bills, doing that very thing. So the good news is that's correctable. Just stop that. If you feel like you're off schedule, throw the ball away or check it down. Don't try to make a play unless you're near the end of the game and you absolutely have to avoid the big negative play. So, you know, it's not that he doesn't have the ability. It's just that one slice of stuff. It's like if you know you can't drive in the rain, if it rains, have someone else drive you or stay home. And so this is where Cousins is right now.
Now, of course, preseason games are all designed to sort of decide, you know, what the final lineup's going to be, who's on the bubble, who's you know, close to making the team, who might not make the team. Did we get any resolution on some of that?
Not really. You know, by today, I think it is, they have to be down to 75, and then by September 3rd, they have to be down to 53. They've already released about 10 guys, and you know, they'll do some more today. No surprises so far in the ones that they've released. However, we do see some of the things that can get you released at your position that don't have anything to do with you or your position. For example, I think they'd like to keep four tight ends. One of those would be, the fourth would be Logan Paulson, who's been around for a long time. And the thing about Paulson is that he might get cut, or Niles Paul, and they might only be able to keep three tight ends because of the running back situation. The projected starter, Matt Jones, is out for the rest of the preseason with an injury. His backup is Chris Thompson. He's out with injuries. He's banged up. And all of a sudden now, you're down to one really healthy running back, or two. One of them is Mac Brown, who's a young guy. The other one is an undrafted rookie, Robert Kelly. So they may need to keep extra running backs because so many guys are injured, they can't afford to be down to one or two guys. And that might affect other positions. That might get you cut, even though you played well enough to make the team, because another position needs an extra guy.
Well, and in fact, you sort of led me to my next question, because you just listed all of them, and you left out Keith Marshall, by the way, who also got injured in Friday's game. Is this starting to become a critical issue for the Redskins at running back? There's so many injuries.
Yeah, at running back, it absolutely is. And those injuries have led to no experience. I mean, their most experienced running back really is Chris Thompson, their third down back. He's not a guy that would be the starter anyway. He'd be a situational guy, and he's banged up. And so the Redskins are likely to look for other teams' cuts at running back to bring guys in to bolster that position.
That's
right
what
now.
You
now,
think. You think they'll pick up some cuts rather than actually try to make a trade with? I mean, we've got a lot of, you know, as you just meant, toys in the toy box.
Yeah, although don't be surprised if if the Redskins do with the running back like they did with Brian Stork, the center from the Patriots. The Patriots announced that they would cut him, and the Redskins traded a conditional seventh-round pick to get him, so they made sure that some other team didn't claim him before the Redskins. Hmm. They may see a looming running back cut on another team that they really like, and they may do the same kind of thing to make sure he ends up in D.C.
All right, so I got to change topics here just for a moment, because no doubt you have noticed the controversy that is swirling around Colin Kaepernick, the 49ers quarterback, Colin Kaepernick. Set aside for a moment whether or not he has the right to do it or anything like that. If you were on his team and this was going on, it would seem to me you would be very irritated at the distraction. When we're supposed to be focusing on football, when it's supposed to be about the game, if I were a teammate, I think I'd be very irritated about this. When you've been in those locker room situations. Would you be irritated if he did this?
Yeah, Brian, I would outwardly defend him, and inside the locker room I'd thrash him for that very reason, because it does create that distraction. Now, setting aside the right to do it, which I believe he does have, you know, the easy thing to do for him would be to just watch the movie Saving Private Ryan, use that as a very narrow sliver of a rationale to stand during the national anthem, and not bring the distraction on your teammates. But the fact that he's done that, I think if you're going to, you need to get approval from your teammates and your team first. I mean, remember a few years ago when the NBA, a few teams changed the name of their team on the front of their jersey because they made a political statement. For example, the Phoenix Suns became Los Suns to support issues surrounding Hispanics. Los Heat, the Miami Heat. Well, that was a team decision. But if you make an individual decision that drags your team into a political scenario that they didn't expect or that they didn't approve, I think that that's disrespectful to the rest of the people around you.
But you would outwardly defend him if a reporter, because that's the thing. Now all the teammates on the 49ers are going to be asked by reporters going into this week's game, you know, well, what's your response? And your response would be?
Well, my response would be you can't force somebody to make a symbol that he doesn't want to make. Mm-hmm. And I would also say that what this does is it creates an opportunity for conversation and debate on both sides of the issue. And ultimately, to me, that is the much better way to handle this kind of a thing than to suppress debate on the side that you disagree with.
All right.
I just think that you've got to have respect for the greater organization and make sure you don't drag them into something that they don't want.
Yeah. Thank you, Trevor Maddox.
Thanks, Trevor.